Turn to Matthew chapter number 19 this morning. Matthew chapter number 19. And of course we are having answers in April. Amen. Talking about and looking to, with the Lord's help, to see some answers to some of the common questions that you and I are asked. Anytime somebody finds out we go to church or claim to be a believer, know the Lord, a lot of times these questions come up. And today's question in particular is a question that a lot of times believers and non-believers alike will ask. A lot of the questions we're dealing with is going to be things that unbelievers would ask and all that type of stuff. But a lot of times this question is one that believers ask too. And even some of the other ones too that you think believers shouldn't be asking, they ask. But anyway, you think about questions that we all have. And last week we began by looking at and answering the question, is hell a real place? Amen. And we said the answer is
yes.
Yes. Hell is a real literal place. Then Sunday night we kind of did a tag-along message, so to speak. Another question, and that is, would a loving God send someone to hell? Now that answer we found, but it's a kind of a little longer answer than a one or two word answer. We saw that simply, would God send someone to hell? The answer to that would be no, I guess you might say, because God doesn't send someone to hell. Amen. A person, by choosing to reject the message of the gospel, to not be saved, if you will, to not come to the knowledge of the gospel, to not accept Him and to be forgiven of their sin, then God does allow that person to make that choice, and then God does allow them, if you will, to go to hell if they choose to reject Him. Amen? And so we saw that last week and answered that question, and that's all tied up within the truth that we have a loving, yes, but we also have a just and a holy God. Amen? And so we saw all that last week and answered those questions. And then this morning we're going to seek to answer the question that I believe is probably right there at the top of all the questions that people ask, even believers ask, if you will. And that was evidenced by when I asked for input from y'all about questions what questions you had or different people have asked you, both in there, that this was the number one question that come up. This, I believe, is what everybody had pretty much in some form, some fashion, if my memory's right, this question. And the question is this, why do bad things happen to good people? That's a question, how many of you ever been asked something of that nature before? Amen. We've all heard that question at some point, even if it rolled through our own head, right? We've heard that question, why do bad things happen to good people? And you think about this, and let me say this morning by way of introduction, okay? Because I don't think none of y'all would take me wrong, but I am trying to record these and put them on the internet. And so let me just say this to make sure all of us, everybody that might hear this, including us in here today, is clear on this, that I am not a know-it-all. Amen? None of us are know-it-alls, right? I cannot take and give you the answer to all of life's questions. I don't have them. But, in a sense, we can, if you will, give the answer to all of life's questions. You say, why? Maybe not down to detail, which is what we want a lot of times. But in a big sense, we can give the answer, I believe, to mostly pretty much all of life's questions. Amen? Because we can get into God's Word. Amen? And God's Word has all the answers to everything you and I will ever face in our lives. And so that's why I believe not that we are a know-it-all, but that when it comes to answering questions, you and I have pretty much all the answers to all the questions we ever need to know the answers to. Amen? And pretty much to mostly all of them, because they're right here in God's Word. And so you think about questions, and that's something we need to keep in mind as we go through this, because this question this morning of why do bad things happen to good people, I cannot sit here this morning and stand here and tell y'all honestly, the reason why that bad thing happened to you is because of this. And then go to somebody else, the reason why that bad thing happened to you is because of this. In detail. What we're going to talk about this morning, if you will, is a big picture answer. Is a big sense answer of, in the big sense of things, why do bad things happen to good people? Okay? Now, as far as the specifics, the underlying things, if you will, underneath that, the nitty-gritty details, those things vary, of course, depending on circumstances and situations that are all under the Lord's control. So why do bad things happen to good people? The number one question asked. Well, before we get into the answer, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for allowing us to be in Your house. Thank You, dear Lord, that we had a great Sunday school message this morning. And dear Lord, thank You for the freedom that we have to gather together to worship You. Thank You for Your Word that does give us answers to all of life's questions. Dear Lord, I pray as we look at Your Word this morning and seek wisdom and help from You, maybe in our own lives, but dear Lord, yes, to share with others the answer to the question when it's asked of why do bad things happen to good people. Give us wisdom from Your Word today. Give us the answers from Your Word today, I pray, that might help us, encourage us, strengthen us, and if one here is truly not saved, that maybe today might be the day of salvation. Bless now this service, I pray. Give me the anointing and the help from You that I need. Help me, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do bad things happen to good people? The number one question that's usually asked a lot of times, I believe. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17, before we read the verse this morning, in answering the question, why do bad things happen to good people, there's something we need to lay down as a groundwork to begin with. And that's point number one, simply this morning, that the question is flawed in the Word. Because simply there is, as we talked about Sunday night, that question was flawed in the Word. The more you look at this, you see that the wordings of the questions a lot of times are flawed. And I think about the same thing, a lot of questions Jesus was asked a lot of times, the questions was flawed, and so He'd say, you answer this, and then I'll tell you this. And so I'm seeing that as we go along and look at these questions, but simply the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Because simply this, the Bible tells us clearly that there is no good people. Now that's opposite of what the world tells us today. Amen? A lot of times you and I, when we say good, we don't mean the same, if you will, good in the sense of what the Bible says. Amen? I understand that. I understand. I believe a lot of y'all in here, pretty much all y'all, as far as I know of, as far as I'm concerned in my own opinion, everybody in here this morning is a good person. But from a biblical sense, if you will, none of us are good people. And so when you say the word good, it depends on, I hate to be technical this morning, but it depends on what you mean by good. Amen? And so when somebody asks you this question, why do bad things happen to good people, or you ask yourself this question and it comes across your mind, I believe this place that we're going to start this morning is a very good place to start. The reason why is because if you're talking to somebody else and seeking to answer the question that they ask of this question, then something we need to keep in mind is here's a great witness and opportunity. Because if we can point out to them what the word good means, there's a clear chance to give the presentation of the gospel. Amen. And answer their question at the same time. Right. So, the reason why I say that is to answer the question, we need to explain that word good. But also, maybe when we go through things in our life and we remind ourselves that there is, as we're getting ready to see, none of us are good in a biblical sense, then that will remind us and help us to answer the question and remind us again and again and again when we go through things in our lives, why do bad things happen to good people? So the first thing we see this morning is simply that point number one is that there are, if you will, the sinners. Matthew 19 and verse number 17, the Bible says this, and verse 16, let's start there. And behold, one came and said unto him, coming to Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do? Notice he's asking, good master, what good thing, right? The word good twice. Shall I do that I may have eternal life? Boy, there's a flawed question to begin with. There's another one, right? Because you can't do a good thing to get to heaven, right? It's not by works. Here's one that thought it was. Verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? Jesus is trying to make a point. Amen. Asking the question. Why callest thou me good? There is none good. I mark those words in my Bible. I encourage you to. None good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And so here we see simply this morning, first off, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, in truth, from biblical, from the Scripture, is that there's none good. Amen? And so, to say why do bad things happen to good people, well, guess what? We're all bad people. We don't never ask the question. I've never heard anybody ask this question. Now, I'm going to ask for a show of hands on this, and I may be just proved wrong in my theory, okay? But has anybody ever asked you this question before? Why do bad things happen to bad people? Okay, everybody's on the same page. I have never been yet asked that question. Now, we can give the answer to that one Sunday morning, too, if we want to. But why do bad things happen to bad people? People don't ask that. Instead, they ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Because if you're good, you should get good. If you're bad, you should get bad, right? You reap what you sow. Boy, I just kind of answered the whole message this morning, if you just think about that right there. But you think about, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, there is no good people on this earth. Because the Bible says there's none good but one, and that is God. That's what Jesus said. So you think about simply this morning, this man here, Jesus being God, was trying to make the point to him, if you will, you are not good, sir. There's only one good, that is me, and I am the Lord Jesus Christ, I am God, and you need to come to me that's good and be saved. Amen? So if you think about simply this morning, the truth is that when somebody asks us that question, there's a great opportunity to witness to them and to show them that He's the Savior and we're the sinner. Amen? There's the plan of salvation in a nutshell, right? Of the reason why a person needs to be saved, because there is none good. Amen? There's none good, the Bible says, time and time again. Psalms 14, if you want to write these down and look them up later, Psalms 14, verses 1 and 3, those two verses as well tell us the same, pretty much, if you will, principle that we see here in Matthew. Psalms 53 and verse number 1. Psalms 53, 1 tells us pretty much the same principle, if you will. And then also Romans 3 and verse number 12. All of those scriptures are just a couple of the many scriptures in the Old and the New Testament. If you look and you notice, you got in both the Old and New Testament the truth that all men are sinners. You've got the truth that God is the only one that's good. You've got the truth that God's good, God's perfect. Mankind, if you will, is sinful. Mankind is sinners. And so you see this morning, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the first thing we need to realize to answer that question honestly is there's none that's good. Because we all are sinners. And so that's a good place to start when we go to answer this question. Turn with me to Psalms 86 this morning. Psalms 86, talking about the fact that why do bad things happen to good people? Well, there is no good people because we all are sinners. Because there's only one that's good, and that is God. Psalms 86 and verse number 5, if you will, a good verse of Scripture here again to kind of make another point or another slant off of this. I believe another reason, another thought here under this thought of the sinners and how there is none good, we're all sinners, and answering this question is Psalms 86 and verse number 5. For Thou, Lord, and I mark these words, art good. God's good. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's what we said. God's good. That's what Jesus said, right? None good but God. One. Here, Psalms, Thou, Lord, art good. Notice the next part. And ready to, what? Forgive. Amen? So in other words, if God's good, He's never sinned and done wrong, then who's He ready to forgive? Amen? That only leaves, if you will, another group. You think about simply, He's ready to forgive. And I like this. Continues on. And we talked about this last week a little in Sunday school and things. And plenteous in mercy unto all, I marked that word, there's all, Brent, them that call upon thee. Amen. To all that call upon him, he's taken and he's ready to forgive and he's plenteous in mercy. Amen. You see this morning, folks, I'm simply saying this, that the Lord's the only one that's good. You and I need to be forgiven. Amen. And the Lord stands ready to forgive all that'll, and to show mercy, plenteous mercy, to all that'll call upon Him. Amen. If they'll just call upon Him. And so we see, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, there is none good, only one, that is God. And you and I, we are all sinners. And He is the Savior. So in a technical sense, there are no good people. But I realize, and I think that's important to point out when you answer this question, but in a technical sense, I realize that when people ask that question, why do bad things happen to good people, they're not talking about good in the way that I just mentioned. But we need to point it out. But to answer the question the way that people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? You and I consider a good person one that is saved, right? But in a general sense,
does good things,
right? What?
They're moral people.
Moral people, right? In other words, we'd say, give me some examples of good things, just in a general sense, general earthly sense.
Go to church,
okay.
Not law breakers.
Not obey the laws.
Do right by others,
right?
Gives a lot of charities.
There you go. That's the stuff, type of things I was thinking, right? Well, they're such a good person. They take care of their family. They donate a bunch of money to these things. They're philanthropists, right? Some of them more than others. But you know, they take and give a bunch of money and they treat people nice and kind and they're so loving and they'll go give you the shirt off their back and, you know, and go out of the way to help you any way they can. And all that's great. But that's what we describe good as, right? Now, what's wicked in the worldly way of looking at things? Give me some examples. What's a wicked person?
Cheat.
There you go.
Murderers.
Adulterers.
Steal.
Lying. All that stuff, right? And on and on and on we could go. That's what we think of when we think in our minds, the earthly meaning, the way we think about it a lot of times, of bad and good, if you will. Why do bad things, there's another question we could ask. I better not even get to that one this morning. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do they happen to these people that do good, that help out others, that are nice and kind and sweet and loving, right? They try to do what's honest. They try to do what's right and all these types of things. Well, this morning I'm going to seek in the next few minutes to give you, now that we laid some groundwork, to try to answer this question in the way that most people are really asking it when they're asking it. Why do bad things happen to good people? Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Remember, we're not necessarily given every specific, if you will, because a lot of times we don't know specifics to a point. But in the big sense of things, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read a good many verses because we got to. There's no way around it in this. I tried to figure out a way just to read a couple verses, but it won't work that way because we need to read it all and see it all to make the point clear. If we took time and read verses in chapter 3, if we read verses 1 through 5, we know it, we're familiar with it, of here it is in the Garden of Eden, right? Here is the serpent coming to Eve, tempting Eve and telling Eve, eat of the tree, right? To sum it up in a nutshell. Eat of this tree. I know you're not supposed to eat of it. I know God said don't eat of it, but don't look at it. Ain't it beautiful? Wouldn't you like to eat it? Wouldn't you like to taste it? And goes on and all the stuff that takes place in the first 5 verses. Now notice verse 6, and we're going to read a while. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. So notice, Both of them ate of the tree, right? She did, then he did. Now the apron's being sewed. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They're hiding from God. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Now God knew where they was, right? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. That had never been a problem before up to this point, right? But things had changed. They had eaten of the tree. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. It's that woman's fault, right? And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It's the serpent's fault. It's the devil's fault. He made me do it. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this. Notice the wording, okay, the next couple of verses. Thou art what? Cursed. The serpent's cursed. Above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go. I believe that the snake's not always been on his belly because of what that verse says. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I simply believe at one point it had legs of some sort, some kind, some fashion. You say, I don't know. I can't answer at all them questions, but I just see what I see in front of me. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, here's part of the woman's, if you will, curse. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou, here's Adam's curse, if you will, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground, here's the curse, if you will, on the earth that Adam was going to have to deal with, and even all mankind. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou dost shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And so here we see in these verses what we commonly call, in three words, we sum it up this way, the fall of man. Amen. We see the original sin, the first sin, if you will, in that God had only told them one thing not to do in the Garden of Eden, and that was to eat of that tree, right? What did they do? They took Eve first, ate of the tree, Adam second, ate of the tree, right? As a result of that, God told them the day they'd eat of that tree, they'd surely die. What happened? They did die. We ain't got time to get into explaining all that this morning and what that dying means and all that. But we know that simply God kept His promise, right? We know that from that moment on, death passed upon all men. Amen. For that all have sinned, as the Bible says. We know that from that point on, the devil, if you will, the serpent, we'll use that word because that's what the Bible's saying here. The serpent had a curse, right? We talked about the belly. Not only that, we saw the earth had a curse. The thorns and thistles and so on and so forth about the earth's curse. We saw that the woman had some things as a result of that curse. Specifically, the pain in the childbearing and the sorrow in it. And we saw the man would have some things as a result of the curse, that he would have to, if you will, till the ground, till the land by the sweat of his face, amen, that we know that then that would take, he'd have to work, we say. You think about all of that, and that's just a nutshell. That's nowhere near the extent of everything. That's in a big sense of all the things that the curse, and the Bible uses that word, the curse of sin brought upon this earth. You see, today, folks, we live in a sin-cursed earth. We are a sin-cursed people, if you will. We have a sin-cursed earth, a sin-cursed people. The sin curse affects everything in mine and your life today. A lot of times we don't realize how much different this world is today because of the sin curse. And a lot of times we don't realize how much different this earth is today because of the sin curse. And a lot of times we don't realize how much different mine and your lives would be today if it wasn't for that sin curse. Because if it wasn't for that sin curse, it'd be totally different. If it wasn't for the sin curse, wouldn't be no weeds, I don't believe, messing us up. Wouldn't be no thorns and thistles. Wouldn't be no pain in childbearing. Thank the Lord. Just stay the right height, perfect all the time. Amen. I like it, Donald. I don't know if it's scripturally 100%, but I like it anyway. But you think about no more of the sin curse. But because Adam and Eve sinned, and there will be no graveyards. You think about all of the things that, and I don't think we really realize, honestly, and I don't think I even realize standing here today talking about it, that we fully really realize every, how different and how, I'm going to say, to put it in a big sense, messed up everything is around us because of that sin curse.
Amen. That's right. That's the truth.
And how different things would be today if it was not for that sin curse.